of September 4th to order, and if you would please stand with us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sandy, could we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Shippers?
I'm here.
Bowman?
Here.
Ingalls?
Here.
King?
Here.
Mayor Folkins?
Here. This time, if we could have a motion to approve the agenda?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm still packing.
I'd make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Councilmember Bowman?
Yes.
Ingalls?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Shippers?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries. This time, we'll open the floor for public comments. We do ask if you come forward, if you would state your first name and also write your first name, last name, and address for the clerk. And if you could keep your comments to 3 minutes or less, we would appreciate it.
Hi there. My name is Lisa Leedy, and I am the Executive Director for Alliance for Economic Success. My home address is 125 Morgan Street, Fife Lake, Michigan. But I represent AES here today, and we are a nonprofit economic development group that I think many of you are familiar with. We have been funded by some of your business leadership to help economic development efforts throughout the county, and I just wanted to give you a quick update. I have provided you with a paper copy of one of our recent efforts, which is the Cadillac West study that we did in collaboration with Networks Northwest and the city of Cadillac, as well as Beckett and Rader. And we're still receiving feedback on that, although we are working on some continued efforts for that, and we're going to be applying for a funding opportunity to continue that with Networks Northwest. So we would be continuing collaborating with the city and with Networks Northwest and moving that initiative forward to try to get some kind of forward motion going on the West plan. We also are working on a greater downtown study to do the same thing, to try to get a collaborative approach and kind of move that initiative forward. So I just wanted to give you all a little bit of heads up. We had our first meeting 2 weeks ago, about a week and a half ago or so, at Baker College, and we'll have another meeting probably in a month or two once that we're partnering with MSU students on that initiative. And we'll be having a second meeting, which will be held somewhere in Clam Lake Township. We're thinking probably the golf course, and the third meeting will be held in the city of Cadillac. So we'll be receiving input at various times, so if you can watch for our initiatives. But the next up and coming thing is the grant application to continue the funding for the Cadillac West momentum that we have going. And if you have any feedback, I've left you with my contact information, so you can directly give us input. We will be going to the other units of government to provide them with a copy of the study. We've emailed out the study. It's on our website, but we also want input back. It's kind of a two-way communication thing, so we appreciate any input or feedback you can give. Thank you.
Thank you.
Billy Ritzma, again. I just didn't hear anything, and I don't know. I gave you packets about water fluoridation, public water. I don't know. Where should I go with this, or where should I go next? I mean, do you want signatures from, like, other dentists or, you know, medical? I can tell you that our pediatric dentist in Traverse City is full and not taking any more patients, whether it's healthy kids or not. So
we can perhaps address this and go to the order.
Yeah, near the end of the meeting.
At the end?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go home and let my dog out then.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Hi. I'm Mary Brett Schneider at 1722 Michigan Avenue here in Cadillac. And I have a question for the city council. We used to be able to have docks at road ends, and then we received a letter saying that because of the state law, we could no longer have docks at the end caps. But the state law, if you notice, I sent it around with the enrolled Senate bill. If you look at number 2 there, it says that a public road shall not be used for the construction, installation, maintenance, or use of a dock or wharf after, I'm sorry, I can't read really well, other than a single seasonal public dock or wharf that is authorized by the local unit of government, which is you. So technically, you don't have to go by that state law. And on the north side of the lake, you don't. There are 5 docks at end caps on the north side of the lake. At Seneca, Otsego, Winona, Huron, and Iroquois. They all have. And I know it's something to do with that association that's over there that you can get a permit and have a dock, but they're still end caps. So my question is, why can't we have them on the south side?
Okay, thank you. Seeing no one else, we'll close public comment and move to the approval of the consent agenda. And this evening we have the minutes from the regular meeting that was held on August 20th, along with the minutes from the closed session held on August 20th.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Councilmember Ingalls?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Shippers?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, and this evening we do have a public hearing, so I'll turn to Marcus.
Thank you, Mayor and members of the City Council. This evening's public hearing is regarding a higher level of restriction that the Federal Environmental Protection Agency is requiring regarding the area commonly known as where our LDFA is. Jeff, did you have a map that you were going to show?
Yes, I did.
And if you could also provide a little further of an introduction as to what's being restricted. And
do you want me to come up there?
Yes, please. Yeah. Our Utilities Director, Jeff Dietland, will provide a little greater in-depth of an introduction than I.
Well, hello, everybody, Council. About a year ago, maybe even a year and a half ago, Sheila Sullivan from the EPA contacted me and said that the EPA had some concerns over our ordinance on the LDFA cleanup, the Kaiser site here, Kaiser Northern Plating Plant, I think it's called, that we were not restrictive enough, that they would like to see that nobody in the area use water for any purposes. Our old ordinance kind of left it up to the homeowners if they want to use it or not. So they would like to see us restrict water use because there is contamination in the area. We have a cleanup there. Rexair has a cleanup there. Several companies have cleanups in the area. And across the street in Herring, all of that subdivision there is all mandated to be watered with municipal water. So they would ask, very nice, that if we would revisit this and have an ordinance change to prevent us from having private wells for domestic water in that area. When we looked, we have 3 residents that we believe are still on wells. Everybody else has discontinued the use of well and has turned over to city water at that point. So I would recommend, you know, especially, I think this big push is coming because of all the water problems they had in some of our larger name states, cities, that they're looking at just making sure we don't have something smaller here that's we knowingly allowed somebody to drink contaminated water, that we go out there and we, you know, provide good drinking water for these people that we can certify is not meets all the regulatory requirements. So,
We do believe that there are, you think, three properties that are currently on...
On well water.
Well water, and subject to the city council approving this change, we will need to reach out to those parties and have them connected. Is that correct?
That's part of the that's part of this ordinance, is that we would reach out to them and tell them, you know, basically that they had to connect to the city water at that point.
And they're now, city residents? They're not hearing?
They're city residents. And how the city council wants the utilities department to address that, we could go out there and tell them it's at their cost. We could go and say we could share costs, or however the city council wants us to get them hooked up to us.
Didn't utilities cover those costs initially?
I do believe they did in the first go around. That we did. Anybody that did want to hook up, we would hook them up. All the installation, all the fees for the hookups we covered, and then the people went on just a regular monthly bill after that, just to get them on our city water off of their wells.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
Thank you. This time we'll open the public hearing portion, our public comment for this public hearing, if anyone would like to come forward with any input or questions. Seeing no one, we'll close the public comment portion of the hearing and open it for discussion amongst the council, and if you have any questions.
I don't really have questions, but I think if we took care of the cost for other people that were there, and it's how many? There's three?
Three.
We're demanding that they do hook up, and then they will have to pay for the water. I think that if it was me to all of a sudden have a, you know, another big bill would be very difficult. So I would hope that we could take care of that.
Yeah, that could be incorporated in the motion if you wish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If, anybody else, or do you want me to make the motion?
If I may, I would suggest also, if we're going to pay for the connection fee, we pay for the abandonment of the well that they currently have, so it's actually plugged correctly. That it's not just left as a hole in the ground, but it is uninstalled correctly.
Okay,
good.
So make that part of the motion.
All right. Okay, so I'll make a motion to approve the resolution to adopt ordinance amending Chapter 42, Article 2, Division 6 of the Cadillac City Code regarding institutional controls for Kaiser Industrial Corporation, Northern Air Plating Company, and to have the city cover the cost of connection as well as the costs for abandonment of the said wells.
I'll support.
Okay. Councilmember King?
Yes.
Shippers?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Ingalls?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, that takes us to some communications for this evening.
Yes, the first request is to approve the parade route for the homecoming parade beginning at 5 p.m. on September 28th, with setup starting at 3:30 p.m.
And it looks like everything is exactly the same as it always has been. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'd make the motion to approve the parade route for the homecoming parade beginning at 5 p.m. on September 28, 2008, with setup starting at 3:30 p.m.
Support.
Councilmember Shippers?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Ingalls?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries.
The next request is to approve the closure of Lake Street between Pine and the Huntington Bank driveway, and the closure of the south parking lot in the municipal complex from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. on September 11th for the Child Safety Expo.
I'll make that motion to approve the closure of Lake Street between Pine Street and the Huntington Bank driveway, and the closure of the south parking lot in the municipal complex from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. on September 11th, 2018 for the Child Safety Expo.
Support.
Councilmember Spohman?
Yes.
Ingalls?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Shippers?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries.
The next request is to approve the closure of Lake Street between Cass and Pine from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on October 13, 2018 for the Fall Color Train.
And I see that we have someone from the Color Train here.
My name's Bob Matthews.
Hi, Bob.
And we'd like to request the closure of the entire length of Lake Street for the safety of all the passengers, especially in light of some incidents that have happened in the last few months with injuries and fatalities.
And the ride is the same as you've been doing in the years past?
Yes.
Okay. Have people already started reserving their spots?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And if you want any ticket information, just go to michigansteamtrain.com.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Any other questions?
I don't think so.
When is it coming?
I'll make a motion to approve the closure of Lake Street between Cass and Pine from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on October 13 for the Fall Color Train.
Support.
Good job.
Support for that.
Councilmember Ingalls?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Shippers?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries.
Next request is to approve the closure of Lake Street between Cass and Harris from 7:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. on September 15, 2018 for the Mayor's Youth Council Movie Night.
And we have someone here from that, too. That'll be me. We're showing the movie Maleficent. We showed Wonder last week.
That's right.
When the weather was very precarious and had a smaller crowd there, but we're really hopeful that we'll have more folks coming out to this, that the weather will be perfect, and bring your families, and yeah.
And this one is sponsored by?
This one is sponsored by Munson Hospital. Thank you.
I'd go ahead and make the motion to approve the closure of Lake Street between Cass Street and Harris Street from 7:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. on September 15, 2018 for the Mayor's Youth Council Movie Night.
Support.
Councilmember King?
Yes.
Shippers?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Ingalls?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, and this evening we have one appointment.
Yes. Requesting the to approve the appointment of Brian Kelsey to the Downtown Development Authority for a partial term to expire on June 16, 2019.
If I may, Brian Kelsey reached out to me just a short while ago before the meeting started. He was going to be here this evening. Passes on his regrets. He did get stuck in the chemical bank office. So,
say Brian is my banker, and I think we're lucky to have him. So,
okay.
You want to make that motion?
I have with my nasally voice here. I make a request to approve the appointment of Brian Kelsey to the Downtown Development Authority for a partial term to expire on June
16,
2019.
Support.
Councilmember Shippers?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Ingalls?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries.
All righty. Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. The only item on the City Manager's report this evening is a request regarding bringing on a certified grant administrator. There is a communication that was left at your places this evening. The bids for this project came in late last week, and therefore we didn't have a chance to get it into the packet. It is, however, online as well. The city is anticipating a rather sizable community development block grant for a project that's directly related to Cadillac Lofts development that's located off of Mitchell Street between Cass and Chapin Streets in our community, or formerly known as the Olson site. The Michigan Economic Development Corporation has a whole team dedicated to community development block grant, block grants, and as a part of this process, we, the city, are the applicant and have to put out a request for proposals, which we've done. We've received now three of them that are ranked per the communication shows, with our recommendation going to Venture North Funding for the grant administration that's going to be necessary and required for the community development block grant process that we are embarking on. The funding for this role is actually paid through the grant. That's not a special set of circumstances for Cadillac. That's just how this all works. This is a tool that our community, that our city has not used in quite some time. We are a little nervous because it is going to be a complex project. However, the reward is certainly going to be worth it at the end. And this perhaps might be the first of what could be several community development block grant initiatives that we're going to be pursuing in the near term. So at this point this evening, the recommendation is to go with Venture North Funding. Venture North Funding did come in at the lowest hourly cost. Their estimated costs are obviously also lower based upon the difference in the number of hours that they believe it's going to take to get the job done. They did contact the city prior to sending in their proposal, as did the other grant administrators, but the nature of their questions lean more towards trying to understand from a timing perspective what this first phase of a project was going to involve, and I think that's why their number of hours is far less, as of course it's just being estimated, than the other two people or companies that have proposed, I should say. So the recommendation this evening is for us to move forward with Venture North Funding.
So that's quite a stark variation between them and the other two companies. And so I just have a concern of whether or not they would be able to accomplish the work in that many hours. When
they may not, but even with the other companies, it's not as if there's a cap that's set. And that's why I commented that we should pay attention also to the hourly rate, which they do come in at the lowest end on that as well. So even if they go up in hours, it's still going to be less than what the other companies are. And certainly they're located a lot closer to the project site than the other companies too.
So are we required to, we're required to have a certified grant administrator, but if we had one on staff that was certified, that would be okay, or are we required to contract with another party?
I don't know the answer to that question. We don't have we do not have a community development block grant certified grant administrator on staff. I am not certain if they would require it. My gut is they might, because of the requirements for using the federal dollars. It was required that we push the proposal out for people to respond to. So I think we would be still looking at having to have somebody possibly apply for this responsibility.
So if the time needed to do it goes over the $10,000, and there aren't grant funds, there's the city then on the hook from our general fund to, or do they have to come and show why they're going over for an approval?
I would assume they would have to show why they're coming over or they're going over. The MEDC is going to issue us a letter of authorization to proceed. When they put us through this process and helped us get to the point where we are tonight, there was no conversation or scope of cap of where you know, where it has to come in. In fact, even the scope of the grant itself, as far as cap goes, is still right now a bit abstract. I think we're going to be looking at something somewhere between, you know, a $500,000 grant and $1 million grant, probably just less than $1 million, because it otherwise requires a different process.
So it's
a little bit gray as far as how
they
work.
So the second part of the question, though, yeah, was if they go over that, are we on the hook for that, or is the MEDC going to?
Well, I believe it's the funds through HUD or through the federal government that the MEDC facilitates. Owen, did you catch any of that in the conversation you had with the grant administrator?
I mean, that wasn't brought up. The thing that's brought up is it's 100% grant funding, and we're required to have a certified grant administrator. So I actually had the conversation today with them, saying, you know, these places had 281 hours, and you had 133. What's the deal? And they were very good with their explanation of proximity to Cadillac. You know, the other one's from Hancock, which is a long ways away, obviously. One's from Fremont. Some of this can be done remotely. A lot of it has to be done on-site, inspecting, interviewing, all of those things. So they were very clear that their understanding of the project really lends itself to this being more reasonable at the $10,000 level. The other thing that they mentioned was one of the biggest discrepancies in number of hours. There were 7 different sections, and one of the biggest discrepancies was a construction and labor management type one, and what that is making sure that the construction complies with, you know, bids and specs and all of that stuff, and then the prevailing wage and interviews and the things that have to come along with that. This portion of the project is demolition only, and because of that, it's a lot more simple than a construction project. So there would be a, you know, demolition contractor, maybe one that's asbestos certified because of the nature of the facility. Those are a lot. That's a lot less of a scope than it would be if they were knocking some down and, you know, building the building in this phase. So they mentioned those two things specifically as reasons in their understanding of the project. And they've done a number of these. They work well with the MED staff. That they'd be able to do it at the lesser hours. There was 2 of them on the conversation. Both were comfortable that what they had bid was very reasonable. As far as being on the hook for anything over, you know, we don't have a budget for it, and we're not, that's not part of our, you know, certainly there's some public infrastructure that's part of that project, and that's what this is helping us build. But it's our understanding at this point, though there's probably a grant cap, that this would be a fully reimbursable cost.
But are we signing a contract with them, Owen?
We would be signing a contract, yeah.
So yep. That's my only concern, without something in the contract that says that, you know, if they exceed this amount, either they're going to come back and talk first and it has to be approved, or the city is not responsible for any overage.
Yeah, so we could build in the not to exceed amount in the contract, if you're comfortable with that, and then we could, you know, basically then have to come back for an amendment. You know, if we did that, I would probably recommend a slight just contingency amount, you know, and not to exceed up to 10, and, you know, a contingency amount of, you know, maybe 2,500. That way it builds in some flexibility. And then if it was going to exceed that we'd have to come back and, you know, first of all, doing our jobs, we'd hold them, you know, to the fire on that number. And then, you know, exceeding that, we'd have to have those change orders, you know, approved. So we could certainly build in something like that.
That sounds reasonable.
Okay.
Okay. So do you want to do it so that you can add?
I'll give it a shot, and then you guys can jump in, depending how badly I murder it. I would make a motion to award the contract for CDBG Certified Grant Administrator to Venture North Funding in accordance with their proposal of not to exceed $10,000, but with the contingency of an additional $2,500 if necessary, to be managed by the city finance department.
Perfect.
I'll support that.
Councilmember Spelman?
Yes.
Ingalls?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Shippers?
Yes.
Mayor Folkin?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you very much. That could be the first of several of these coming forward over the course of the next year. So appreciate it. Every different step, every different phase is going to be a whole separate process.
Oh, so we'll have different grant administrators?
Possibly.
Oh.
Yep.
That brings your question.
Fascinating.
It makes it interesting, though, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all learning a little bit on the fly here.
Yeah, I do think we should have that conversation further. I like to see what the total cost is, because if we get five of these at 10 grand a pop, I don't know how many years we're talking.
I think we're going to learn as we go. I'm not concerned. It's part of the grant process.
It's
a percentage of what we get funded. I mean, at this point, I have no concern. We're going to be able to manage this.
Yeah. And
this particular one, there's no local match.
Yeah,
right. That's amazing.
So.
That is amazing.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Moving on to introduction of ordinances and resolutions. Before you this evening is the setting or the request to set a public hearing regarding the non-discrimination ordinance. I do not believe, and Mike, you can clarify, I don't believe there's any thing that was amended in the last version to this version?
We changed the definition a little.
Which one was that?
The housing?
Right here, under the prohibition.
Okay.
We expanded this part of that paragraph to include corporation, company, association, or other entity.
Okay.
Where are you at, Mike?
Section 2-398. Previously, that just read no person or persons. And so we cleaned that up a little to include no person, corporation, company, association, or other entity shall discriminate against any person or persons.
Did we get
the rental housing?
Pardon me?
The rental housing thing?
Yes. Did we get the FOIAs out and get a response to those?
We did. We did not issue the FOIAs only because after the conversation we had at the last council meeting, my takeaway was that while that would be information that would be nice to have, that it would be potentially comparing apples to oranges if you had certain municipalities that were spending X number of dollars for Y number of complaints. We have no history currently on the books ourselves as far as the number of complaints go. So we did not issue the FOIAs. So
I'm really hesitant, and I know the mayor, I saw in the minutes, so I was glad to see it was clear in the minutes. We wanted that information. I want to make sure I have information so I'm making an educated decision moving forward. I don't know how everybody else feels, but I thought the direction was pretty clear that we were going to send the FOIAs out to get the information.
Yeah, I didn't. I felt like we had talked through it, and we thought that information would be difficult to receive.
We weren't sure
if it would be enough to be something that would be, I don't know, I don't want to use the word scientific enough, but it would just be more random than quantitative.
And I really felt like Mike's response to our questions at our last meeting kind of eased my thought based on what Sherry just reiterated happened. It kind of eased my concern in, truly understanding the financial impact or lack thereof that it could have on the city.
I hear what you're all saying. I'm still saying I think there's information out there to make a good decision as to whether we need to put a law in place. I'm not sure. For me, I can't go forward with it or not if we don't have the information and know what the consequences are.
If I may jump in, and I'll jump back out, but are there maybe just a couple of communities that you really want to drill down on? Because we can certainly issue a FOIA to anybody, but if there's a couple that
there were a really couple that
try to specifically drill down on with the FOIA, you know, I mean, it is a process, obviously.
And I think there were several, but I think the whole point was to get the information, one, so you're not recreating the wheel, two, so you see what information they have and any pitfalls that they had in doing it, and three, just operation and application of the actual ordinance. So sitting here right now, can I tell you which communities? No, because I thought it was going to get done, so I didn't know. So I didn't think about it. And I went back to the minutes to make sure that was in the minutes, and it was in the minutes that we were going to move forward with the FOIA request. So that's, I'm not sure, because it was in the minutes that we were going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly apologize if I've let anyone down. My takeaway was sort of a mixed bag, which is why we didn't take the time to issue the FOIAs out to the whole board or to the whole gaggle. There were 43 on the list, and I want to say we had, you know, data from about a half a dozen at the most. It was pretty limited.
The information you did gather was very limited. So, I don't know if, I mean, we won't know unless we FOIA it, I guess, if those communities show anything different than the ones who freely gave of that information.
There were several that had complaints and a lot that had none. We can, if council chooses to, can still look at setting your hearing. Under FOIA, they could extend, which could take, you know, the better part of a month to get any data back, depending upon how a municipality handles the request. And of course, it has to be a request for a public document. So while they may have the data, unless they have this as a public, you know, in a public document, they may not provide us with anything. They may deny it. I'm just trying to set a low level of expectation of getting results back.
I'm not sure where they'd hide the data from us, though. I mean, if what they needed for their own mechanism is to have the FOIA in, my thought would be once the FOIA went in, they would say, all right, you followed the mechanism here.
But if they don't have a document, they don't have to answer yes or no.
They don't have to create one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was the question, you know, have you ever had an issue?
What I might suggest is that maybe we follow up using FOIA with the handful of municipalities that had reported to us that they had complaints that came in.
Well, I think you want both. I'd have to look at the list again, but I think you want to see the communities that have one in place, so we need a FOIA to do that, to send it to them. If that's just the trigger they need to get us the information. If here's my point. If you pretend you send 10 to 10 of the municipalities, and 8 of them say we have the information and here it is, then we've got information. I mean, I think any time that we're going to act and say we're going to put something into law, we do have a duty to say, what's the information behind this? How has this succeeded or failed? How has it been applied? That's been my biggest worry about the ordinance, is not the basis behind it, but the application of the actual ordinance once you put it into place.
I had a small question that I talked about with the city earlier about how we would necessarily, and this is, we'll wrap back around to the FOIA thing, but how we would determine our own cost. Like, when I look at the budget, there's not going to be a line item that says non-discrimination ordinance enforcement. So I was asking, like, if we review this, even after we have one complaint, and we wanted to isolate the cost that would be distributed, that wouldn't necessarily be easy to find. I was, you know, for our own ordinance. So I, you know, in light of that conversation, that also led me to believe that the FOIA information may not be helpful or may not be there either, which, you know, that's, you know, that isn't a problem, that isn't listed, or that you can't find out the cost of enforcement. But I came away with the impression that we may not be able to get any helpful information, and that even in our own review of how much we spend on it, it may not necessarily be clear unless it's, you know, if someone spends an hour research a complaint and then refers it up, you know, where is that listed in the line item budget? You know, staffing hours spent, like, you know, we don't line item out enforcement of ordinances. So I don't know necessarily if we would be able, if someone would be able to find that from us, if they FOIA'd us after we had it. And I don't know if that, it just made me less interested in the FOIA. Knowing that there, you know, if we can't subpoena a document, like you said, we can't force them to create it. So I didn't know if that would be useful. I kind of relaxed on that a little bit
myself.
If
you don't ask, that's why you can't get information. Yeah. If you don't ask, one. Two, yeah. I think two, because our ordinance says, and it sounds like it's planned on delegating it either to our public safety director or our city police chief, I want to see who's actually administering these in the other cities. And to your point, Robert, I would think that man-hour-wise, they are going to keep track of that information. But I want to know.
I'd be surprised if they kept track about what specific ordinances they're investigating and dealing with. Like, is there any other ordinance that has that? Why would this be different than any other ordinance where you would have to keep something separate for how much this cost as opposed
because
to any other ordinance?
This ordinance has as a part of it that you can request the cost of reimbursement for the enforcement of the ordinance. Therefore, there would have to be an accounting of the time and the costs involved in order to ask a court to reimburse that amount.
But we've already done the survey and we haven't been able to get that information. So doing a FOIA is like just a lot of extra work. And we might get a little bit of information, but there's no guarantees we're going to get much. Because you have to have a document to get the information.
Again, if you don't ask.
It's not like they're going to go through their records and count. I think it's important for us to set the public hearing. I'm going to make a motion to adopt the resolution to introduce the non-discrimination ordinance and to set a public hearing for September 17th, 2018.
Support.
Councilmember Ingalls?
Yes.
King?
No.
Shippers?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries.
May I just add one last thing? We do have the ability, we do track complaints that come in through our police department. So this, as any, we would be able to track as well. When we do the state of the city and we break information and data down by types of crime, types of complaint, so we certainly do track that. Moving this forward, as the council has just done, to the public hearing phase, I'm still happy to see if we could get some additional data. So, just to have it.
But I think that would be good.
What about in those things? And if other, some of these other communities have a similar thing like the state of the city, does everybody do that?
No.
I didn't think so.
Everyone does things
different. But maybe something like that just shows at least how many or, where that goes, something like that.
And specifically, we're talking about FOIAing the group that have experienced complaints, as well as people who've experienced no complaints.
People who have put the ordinance in place.
The this is the Adrian version of the ordinance, I believe, because is that what it?
Right? Yeah, this is the Adrian.
And you could see on that list that you gave us about half of them use this style of ordinance. So those would be the half that we'd be interested in. Then okay. Mm-hmm.
But just so you know, Marcus, I'm interested in a cross section to see how this has worked.
Yeah. People who have experienced complaints and people who do have the Adrian version of the ordinance.
Okay. All right. And then this evening we have an adoption of a resolution.
Thank you. I'm just giving me 1 second to pull up my next one. This evening we have an adoption of a resolution with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources Trust Fund for what they call their project agreement. This is for the Cadillac Trailhead project. I'm using a new system, so I apologize. I'm downloading it. The City Council back on March 20th of 2017 originally approved a resolution of support for the White Pine Trail Extension and Trailhead Grant as required by the MDNR. Now that we've actually received notice that the grant is real. Several months later, it is now time to approve the grant agreement. The grant agreement does stipulate the terms of the grant and reaffirms the city's commitment to the grant and the 30% matching funds. The MDNR, and I wanted to mention this publicly, they've really been an incredible partner for the city. The most recent project was a 50-50 grant project, and that was for the Kenwood bathrooms that are, while open, almost done landscaping and some site improvements are still left to be taken care of on that site. The recommendation this evening is for the City Council to approve, obviously, this this resolution for the development project agreement, which is the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund project number TF17-0091.
And the local match comes from?
The local match comes from, in part, Rotary, and in other parts, likely, our development fund that we use to help with the farmers market. I also want to say that we're looking at possibly looking at another CDBG, or Community Development Block Grant source, as a way of also funding some of that project too. It's important to note that the project was provided to the MDNR about 2 years ago, I think, a year and a half ago.
I wasn't involved in that.
You weren't involved in it. Okay, so this was back when Bruce DeWitt was here. So, you know, the engineer's estimate is 2 years old because you apply for him about a year in advance of when they actually vet the project. So when the actual engineering number comes in, it could be a little different than what was estimated. But the grant dollar is going to stay the same. So,
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution.
I have one question. Do the grantee in the agreement has to immediately make available the funds? We do, even though we're getting them from different sources, we do have them all available.
We have them
right
on
now.
Hand if we had to, yes.
Okay, what does that mean, though, if we had to?
We can write the check today.
Okay.
That being said, I still want to be able to fundraise. So.
Okay. How much are we getting from Rotary on this?
Approximately $33,000.
Okay. So, and then the balance would have to come from the city?
Yes.
Okay. I'm concerned, and I want to say this because it's an important project, and I've said it to the council before. I'm concerned when we're raising money from the public for some of these projects if we don't have the money available because it turns out to be another tax. So what I'm making sure is that we've budgeted for this as a city so that we have, if we've chosen to go ahead for the funds, we know we're fully funded and don't have to rely on fundraising. So is this something we don't have to rely on fundraising if we don't want to? That has been budgeted for this project.
So both the grant dollars and the expenses come in through a budget amendment process that we'd be doing later this fiscal year. The funds that we have on hand are on hand and are appropriate to be used for this project. However, in looking at trying to keep our opportunity of creating even more leverage to fundraise, that perhaps makes it more difficult if I am already broadcasting that we have the funds even for the match fully on hand.
Well, I'm very, very concerned at the number of projects that we're reaching back out to our businesses on when we're not funded. And that's something I think is being financially and fiscally responsible, we as a council have to watch ourselves on, is that not going into projects that we expect the community to fund when it's really a city project that, as a fiduciary, we have to make sure we're responsibly approving the monies of the taxpayer before we move forward with the project.
Well, and for everyone on the city council, if we did not have a 70% grant, we have nearly $400,000 of outside money coming in, this project would not even, we wouldn't even be talking about it. So, you know, if not for the partnership or the collaboration with these, you know, other agencies, to help make these types of projects a reality, we wouldn't even be able to ask anybody to help contribute to it.
Well, and as we know, Rotary has been wonderful mm-hmm. on these projects and the ability yep. to do that. I just think we need to do that up front on a project so we know that the funding's there by the time we get to the agreement to say we are fully funded at this point. That's just my comment.
Okay.
Any more discussion?
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution to approve the development project agreement for the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund project number TF17-0091 for the Cadillac Trailhead project.
Support.
Councilmember King?
Yes.
Shippers?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Ingalls?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, this evening we do have the minutes and reports of several of our boards and commissions, one being the Zoning Board of Appeals. The Historic Districts Commission met, the Downtown Development Authority, and the Planning Commission. This time we'll open the floor for our second public comment. Seeing no one, we'll close public comment and move to good of the order if anybody has anything.
Oh, I saw Brian walk in. There's Brian Kelsey back there. Thank you.
Oh, hi, Brian.
For volunteering.
Thank you.
Is this the only board you're going to try to be on, or did you want to be on some more? I saw your application. You checked out.
I'm willing to serve on as many as
careful. Be careful.
Yeah, really.
He said it.
Our eyes widened.
Thank you for being willing to serve.
Thank
it's
you.
Wonderful.
Thanks, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a couple of things I want to mention. The first is that the city of Cadillac is going to be hosting the third annual Northern Michigan American Public Works Association's equipment and trade show. We're honored that our facility has been selected. It's going to be at the Public Works Garage this Thursday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. It's not necessarily an open to the public event. It's a membership driven event. Certainly members of the City Council are encouraged, if you wish to just drop by and take a walk through to do that. And so that's something we're very proud of. Our operations manager, Ken Payne, who's doing a great job for us, is very involved with that association and has been able to get it to come here to Cadillac this year. So we're happy about that. With respect to comments that were made earlier this evening regarding fluoride, many years ago, perhaps 7 to 8 years ago, around then, maybe 6 years ago.
The notebook.
It was quite a while ago. We had a request from a doctor in the community to pursue the same grant that Dr. Ritzma was asking us to look at with respect to fluoridating the public municipal water supply. The city put together a binder or a booklet that included some articles talking about the issue on both sides of the issue and provided that to the City Council for discussion. I don't recall if it was a budgeting work session, but it was some form of a work session. It was discussed as part of a planning meeting, and the council at that period of time had determined that no action was required. There was not a compelling reason that they believed, after seeing the information, to either move it forward and apply for the grant, or to say anything on the record to say that they would never apply for the grant or to pursue it any further. And so with the lack of any action, essentially there was no action to pursue, the matter essentially died. And so at this point in time, I would say that we're still sort of in that same holding period. If this is something that the City Council really feels very strongly about, we're happy to pursue, you know, perhaps next year's, you know, grant funding to try to do it. Otherwise, I would suggest that we're still in the same position as we were before, where it's a very controversial item. There are reports that are on the record saying that it's great, and there are reports that are on the record saying that it's not great. You'll find in this binder that, again, is, you know, 5 to 8 years old, a report or two about a community that is joined in providing that service, as well as a community or two that have dropped off of it. So, you know, there's really not, you know, a very clear path. Obviously, you know, you can find a lot of data to support, you know, anyone's personal desire on it, but there's also a lot of data on the flip side as well. So I would essentially look to the board if there is some direction down the road that this council wants to revisit, to feel free to do that. I'm happy to send out all the information so you guys have it and then can sort of digest it again if you'd like me to. That would be the way I would.
We've got Dr. Ritzma came back into the room. I think Dr. Ritzma's question to us was, what's my next step? And I don't know, as a council, do we put a work session down so that she's able to come and give us information so we can make a decision as to whether, and let others come in to let us know whether there's information they want us to consider on what we would do or not do? I don't know the answer to the doctor's question, so that's why I'm throwing it out.
Can I ask how it was presented the last time that you guys had the opportunity to talk about it?
It was similar to this, and as Marcus said, he put together all the resource materials that were available and provided them to council, and we discussed them.
So is it possible to, if that was 8 years ago, are there new materials out there that we should be looking at to?
Possibly. It was time consuming just simply in putting the materials together, but it was information that was easily accessible. So
I have a small side question, and what's our response and the cost on the medical marijuana survey that we sent out with the bill? Did we get people responding? Were they interested?
Yes, but it's another item I was going to mention.
Well, I mean, if
I hear where you're going.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because I mean, if that worked, I mean, I don't want to keep sending out surveys and nobody ever responds to them, but mm-hmm. I mean, if that was effective, cost effective, and people responded to it, I think that would be a decent first step, because it could, before we put anything else together, it might give us an idea.
We had, as of like 2 weeks ago, we had 165 responses, but we send out how many bills?
4,000.
So.
Okay. But who knows, this might get more because it's water related.
I think we need to figure out a way to listen to.
Very personal, very fast, I will tell you that.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was something at that time we decided we did not want to mm-hmm. go any further with because of that. It's very emotional. It's a difficult discussion. Mm-hmm. And there was just not enough compelling reasons for us to move forward.
Okay. If I may, without taking up too much of council's time, we still have a closed session this evening.
We still have other people with good of the order.
And we still have other people with good of the order. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do, council member. I'll blow the dust off of the packet that we previously have. I don't know if it's digital or not, but we'll see what we can do with it. See if there's any new information or if it's just more of the same banter that was back and forth. But we'll get some information out. And then we can talk about it at another meeting, and if you guys want a survey, we can look at doing a survey or something else.
Can we send Dr. Ritzma that packet too, because then she may have response to us if there's additional information or new information or outdated information?
Actually, it would be best if Dr. Ritzma is here.
Right there.
would just send information to me about the position.
And we can add it.
So we'll add it to the packet, and we'll have the packet available for anybody who wants to take a look at it.
That'd be available.
It's big.
Is that the packet that you have, or that I gave?
That you have.
No, the you already gave us. Right. We already received a packet.
We've gotten something.
But this is like a binder.
Is it in digital form, too?
No, not
that.
Okay. No, okay. It's a book.
It's easy to scan.
Yeah.
Okay. The other item that came up this evening was the lake dock item, or the docks at Road End question that came up. And so in the statute, the section that was commented on was about a public road end should not be used for the construction, installation, maintenance, or use of a dock or wharf other than a single seasonal public dock or wharf that is authorized by the local unit of government subject to any permit required under this part. And so the key word there is public. So the docks that are put in along the north side of North Boulevard are all private. They're not public. So
if it helps, and Mike, jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, part of the issue is those areas are platted, and therefore the road ends are not public road ends, they're actually platted road ends, which are applied differently.
Yeah, so back in 2010, the city received a correspondence from the MDNR at the time. And what the MDNR concluded is that the city owned those road endings and therefore could not allow non-riparian lot owners to construct docks or install docks at those road endings without a city written authorization to do so. And I have to look back, I was just looking at my electronic record to determine, we did draft back in 2010 a resolution and a policy that would have allowed the city to issue that written authorization for the installation of non-exclusive docks at public road endings. And it included a variety of things that people would have to do to get that written authorization. I don't recall off the top of my head whether that policy was adopted. I thought it was, but I don't know. I'd have to look back.
Thank you.
I would say if we could, Owen, you'd have to have Public Works check to see if it was then implemented since 2010 or 2011. Any different than the tag system that's out there now? So.
Okay. Anyone else for good of the order?
Yeah, I want to remind council and the public that the City of Cadillac and the Lake Mitchell Improvement Board is having a Lakes Open House next Monday, September 10th from 4 to 7. Right here, I believe, right, Marcus?
Yes.
Right in council chambers.
It's going to be all over. It's going to be here, and it's going to be in the fire bay. I believe there's going to be some form of a PowerPoint presentation that's going to be circulating on the screens. There's going to be poster boards, and then there's going to be...
So there's going to be a variety of different organizations, like the DNR Fisheries, MSU Extension, the DEQ. Who else do we have on the list? Oh, the invasive species people. And it's information about the lakes, which is really important, and the quality of the lakes. It's from 4 to 7, but at 6 o'clock there's going to be a presentation by our contracted services for the lakes, and it's going to give like a state of the lakes report and what the management practices currently are. So I would really encourage you to come. It'll be very informal, but very informative.
Thank you.
I'd just like to remind folks that school is back in session. So in the morning hours and after school hours, the streets are filled with young ones. Please be mindful, watch for buses, and watch for youngsters walking to the buses or running late to the buses right in front of your vehicle. So which happened this morning. So please just be mindful of that. And that's all.
I would like to just give a shout out to our community, the city and the county, and the wonderful job that they did last week during the storms. Their reaction was immediate, if not faster than that. They worked really, really well together. And I am really proud of this community for the way that people took care of each other. We never expect those things to happen, but it happened here, and we as a community showed what we're made of. So thank you. Okay, anything else? Okay, would someone like to make the motion to go into closed session then?
I'll make a motion to adjourn to closed session to consult with the city attorney regarding trial or settlement strategy in connection with Wexford County Circuit Court Consolidated Case Numbers 13-24803CH and 17-27610CZ, Terry D. LLC et al. Versus Clam Lake Township and Herring Charter Township versus City of Cadillac and Hot Family LLC and City of Cadillac versus Herring Charter Township and Clam Lake Township. And to consider the purchase or lease of real property, and we'd like to invite Jeff Dietland, the Director of Utilities, to join us.
Support.
Councilmember Shippers?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Ingalls?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Mayor Folkins?
Yes. Motion carries.